Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Mystery to Me podcast. I'm Anya Kane.
And I'm Kevin Greenlee.
And we love movies and television shows with a whiff of mystery. Mystery to Me will feature us riffing on murder mysteries, film noir, cozy detective stories, police procedurals, psychological thrillers, legal dramas, tales of teen sleuths, and more.
Once we're done yucking it up about whatever we've just seen, we'll serve up our five-star final takes on whether it's worth your time.
If you're offended by silliness, profanity, political asides, canine-related interruptions, and losers laughing at their own bad jokes, beware. Also note that some of the stories we'll be talking about are pretty dark, and in some cases, exceptionally badly written. So content warning for murder, violence, suicide, torture, rape, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and bigotry.
If there's a movie or show you'd like for us to talk about, email us at mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com. Our show's take on genre is pretty loosey-goosey, so as long as your suggestion has some dash of mystery, we're interested in hearing about it.
Spoiler alert! We're going to be discussing the entirety of this show or movie, spoilers and all. So if you want to be surprised, press pause, go watch the thing, then join us for the show. Now that you've heard our spiel, go ahead and polish off those magnifying glasses and slip into your favorite trench coat. Let's get mysterious.
What did we just watch?
Well, Kevin, we just watched the pilot of Cop Rock, which of course aired September 26th, 1990, a day that will live in infamy. Let me just ask something.
Please do.
What the fuck? Why do you, my husband, a man I know and love, know about this thing? That was the most bizarre thing I've ever sat through.
No,
it's worse than that. It's worse than that. You own that on DVD. You own a Cop Rock DVD.
I snatched it up as soon as it was released.
So this is not just going to be a discussion of a bizarre combo of the police procedural genre with the musical genre. This is going to be analysis of my husband's strange, twisted psyche.
I'm fascinated with bad creative choices. And Cop Rock has a reputation as one of the worst television programs ever made. It often shows up in a list of the top 10 worst shows ever made. So obviously I knew about it. And when it premiered in 1990, people were as baffled as you are now. And I watched it then. So when they released the DVD, I believe it was in 2016, obviously I had to get it.
This is going to be a terrible episode because it's just going to be like, the only thing I can do with this is gape. I can't, you know, I can't, it's like a tsunami suddenly coming at our house in landlocked Indiana. What can I do other than just stare at it?
I kept on asking you, because you were staring at it transfixed, and I honestly don't know if you hate it or if you strangely love it and want to watch all the other episodes.
I have a sick impulse too sometimes, and I think it's like I'm in an unfamiliar foreign jungle with all these strange, bizarre looking creatures. Maybe sometimes I want to go back to the place I'm familiar with, but maybe part of me wants to forge ahead and see what else happens. Lost City of Z style.
I bought this DVD when it was released, the complete series. I watched through the opening credits of episode one, then I ejected the disc, did not put it in again until we watched it just now. So that was my instinct.
You were all excited to show me this, though. You were looking at me like you were bringing me a good thing.
No, I wasn't. I told you. It was an oddity. It was hard to describe.
It's really like something that should be in like Ripley's Believe It or Not. And like I was okay, so basically before we just go too much up our own asses, this is, as I said, a musical police procedural about, I believe, an LAPD precinct.
Yeah. Yes.
And all the cops involved and all the people around the precinct. And if you're thinking, it's like a musical about cops, like kind of like a lavish Hollywood, old-time Hollywood or Broadway production with lots of dancing and things like that.
That's apparently what you thought.
That's what I thought. I was like, that sounds pretty dumb, but like dumb in a way that I'm familiar with. Like, you know, like somebody saw Beauty and the Beast on Broadway or, you know, saw something, you know, saw and was like, let's do that with cops. And like, that's not a great idea, but I thought it would be like bouncy and jubilant and like money poured into it almost that you could see on the screen. Instead, it's like I filmed it on my phone. The audio for some reason really kind of seemed iffy to me. Everything's kind of a wash in darkness and kind of grays and grime colors. And it looks really gross, make the city look really gross. And it's kind of people singing sort of half-assed songs at each other at random points.
And when you talk about the quality of the songs, given my dim memories of the rest of the series, the songs in the pilot are by far the best. They're written by Randy Newman.
The songs didn't offend me in the pilot. They didn't do a lot for me, though. You know,
Kind of offended me.
Some of them did. Some of them were like bland enough to just kind of skate by. Some of them were like, whatever. I wasn't sitting there like, oh. But Jesus. Talk about Randy Newman. This man is in the, for some reason, instead of just having like, I don't know, a normal opening credit scene, like a normal TV show, they chose to have Randy Newman playing the piano with a bunch of studio musicians around him and backup singers, and the cast in street clothes, I think, is
out of character.
Out of character. Themselves. Playing themselves.
Just regular Joes enjoying the musical stylings of one Randy Newman.
Bobbing their heads. Yeah, Randy. And I guess it would have been too inappropriate to just get somebody to, like, you know, suck Randy Newman's dick on screen, but there you go. It was so odd. That was also somehow the most energized I saw anyone in this whole program.
So to give the flavor, it's basically like Hill Street Blues with occasional songs. And so it started out with a raid on a house that was populated primarily by people of color, and it's kind of a violent raid. And as the police officers are putting the offenders into police cars, the offenders break into song.
Yeah, it was weird because I was expecting songs, right? But when I saw that, them leading these young black men into the police cars in a violent way, which is, you know, that's not aged very well throughout this, you know, they break into not just a song, but really bad raps.
Awful raps.
Just terrible. And
even in 1990, I knew that was a bad rap.
Yeah, you knew
song.
That was you're like very, very white and nerdy. And you were like, that's not going to cut it here.
You weren't even born yet. And but I wager you knew it was a bad rap.
I somehow knew even before I was born that this was bad. And like, even though I was expecting a musical element at this point, I really felt like maybe I'd consumed some drugs without realizing it. Because like, what am I seeing here? And like maybe I am on drugs and I'm not aware of it, because that would explain a lot of this. The bad guys get let out on bail because of overcrowding. And one other thing that kind of adds to the sense of surrealness about this show, you know, we're not really like introduced to a main character. We kind of get glimpses of a few. It's an ensemble, fine, but like, it jumps around so varyingly that it really is hard to follow what the fuck is going on. It's like, we're with these cops. Now these cops, these are different cops. Oh, now we're with the prosecutor. And it's like, okay, like, I didn't feel like we were given an opportunity to really like cling to most of these people. Maybe a few, but most of them, it's just like things are happening and it's not really super clear, and you're not really attached to anyone, so you just sort of feel like you're floating in space.
Well, to be fair, that was kind of the style at the time. It reminded me of like a Hill Street Blues or a Saint Elsewhere or an L.A. Law. There's a big group of people, and the knowledge you have of those characters is kind of like cumulative. It gathers over time.
Perhaps, but maybe.
There's a lot of things wrong with this show.
No, but let me say this. But throwing in a musical element, you know, in musicals, you're sort of singing what you're feeling, right? And if you want me to, like, care about what these people are feeling, I feel like it's sort of like somebody coming up to you at the bar and saying, can I have sex with you right now? Like let's get to know, you know, like, let's talk. Like,
you always throw that in my face.
Our meet cute was pretty disturbing. I'm always trying to give you pointers, even to this day. Oh, God. You know, it just feels a little bit, maybe the musical, if you want me to buy, I like a musical. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I'm not a huge musical fan, but I don't mind it. But I need to buy it, and I don't buy it in this setting, especially when I can't even find a character where it's like, oh, I want to hear you sing about how you're feeling. It's too intimate. Get that out of here.
So you weren't ready for the intense personal nature of some of these tunes.
It's not that. It's just that, like, if you're going to sing at me about your feelings, I should at least kind of get a sense of what direction you're going in here. Because otherwise, I just think you look ridiculous. You're just a random person singing at me. It's like someone singing at you on the subway rather than, like, watching a musical. I feel uncomfortable. I feel like it's being thrust upon me rather than, you know, me accepting the suspension of disbelief that a musical requires.
So you seem to be edging towards hating it. Never watch it again.
Yeah, but like, there's something about the mood whiplash that I kind of like perversely love. Because it'll be like, for example, a van chase where you have a bunch of cops going after a van where one of the drug dealers that they had to release is. And then the drug dealer bursts out of it, shoots a cop that we don't know. It's like an African-American cop with the white cop. The white cop dies, and the African-American cop's like wailing over his body and like, oh my God, you shot my partner. And it's like, we don't even know this dude. Like, you just.
And also, let me say, the actor playing the African-American cop later became known for playing Lieutenant Fancy on NYPD Blue. And on that show, he played the role with a real quiet dignity,
mm-hmm.
very stoic, which suggested an inner strength and inner nobility. And in this one, he's just really overacting.
Yeah. And
it was shocking to see. It was jarring.
When you have an actor that's obviously a good actor and they're overacting, the issue is direction. you know, like that's what's going on.
And we can reveal that when he was loudly wailing over the body of his recently deceased partner, friend, colleague, you were laughing hysterically.
Because it was so over the top. It was so over the top. And if, you know, it's pretty easy to get an audience, I think, to kind of like at least care. Like if we care about a character, if we see, oh, this other guy cares about him and like, you know, we hope it works out for him. And then he gets killed and that's a sad moment, pathos. It's not that hard to do that, but they just like literally, it was like, they like, here he is. Oh, no, he's dead. And it was like, it was so jarring. And then, you know, they're going to be fucking singing about it in 2 minutes. So it just like, how, if you're going to try to juggle really serious topics with a musical, that's fine. But you gotta wield the music almost like a surgeon wields a scalpel, because otherwise you're just going to make a big fucking mess.
And also, the parts where they weren't singing, by and large, were pretty tedious. It was kind of like when those softcore porn films, where you like fast forward to get to the nudity.
You know all about that, wouldn't you?
And so, I could imagine fast forwarding to get to the songs in this one, which we did not do. But I could imagine that.
I was wondering where all those sex scenes were coming from. Do we put on cop porn, the musical?
What would that be like?
It would be porn.
But like a bunch of prisoners being...
No, don't say it. Don't even finish whatever you're about to say.
I'm curious, cop porn. It seems like you have it all worked out in your head.
I just said the words.
Sounds like you have a pretty good idea of exactly what you're looking for. There certainly has been pornographic Broadway musicals. The classic, of course, of the genre was Let My People Come.
I hope the audio is picking up the crickets in the background.
It's a real musical. I have the soundtrack.
Here's my question. Why don't you just grow up and watch porn? You know what I mean? Like, why you gotta go to a musical about it? That's just dumb. That's just trying to be shocking so people will come and see it.
Well, I mean, I bought the album.
Yeah, because of course you did, Kevin. Because you're Kevin.
Aren't you curious? Don't you want to hear it?
Look at me. Look at me in the eyes. No. not a stitch. Not a chance.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And then also, as I recall, you were disturbed by some of the hard-hitting scenes. Like at one point, they had one of the persons who had information about the identity of the cop killer. Why don't you describe that scene?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe in 2021, if you want me to sympathize with the cops in your show, I'm not really gonna, like, love to see them torturing a black man with coffee and, like, forcing him to drink it and making him pee himself. Like, I'm sure that was disturbing at the time as well. It's disturbing now. Doesn't seem to have aged well, because they're showing that and it's not... Maybe they're kind of like, these cops are too on the edge. But, like, it's definitely not, like, it definitely doesn't feel like the show's telling me that, like, this is the bad guy. It's sort of portrayed as they kind of need to do this to do their jobs, and it's like,
if you're disturbed by the coffee drinking scene, you had another thing coming before the episode was over.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but let's get to maybe perhaps the most jarring moment for both of us.
Oh, the bathroom scene.
Oh, well, actually, I was thinking of something else, but sure, we can get to the bathrooms. There's all these, like, random scenes.
The bathroom scene was where two middle-aged men talked about how hard it is to pee when you get older. Boy, did that hit home!
Yeah, you know, well, that's my point, what I'm winding up to. But the thing about that is, like, it has a lot of moments like that where it's, like, police brutality, men talking about their dicks in the gritty bathroom. And it sort of like feels like they have a lot of elements that like they think that this is what gritty police shows have. But they're not able to really string it together in an interesting way. So the truly kind of fascinating moments are actually either the songs or the moments around the songs that make the songs so jarring. But speaking of, we saw ourselves in Screen, Kevin, because there is an age gap relationship in this episode.
And you are a little bit older than me.
Ha-ha.
Anya and I have a little bit of an age difference.
Little bit. And there's a young cop.
A hot young female cop. Who indicates that she's interested in having sexual relations with her hot young partner.
No. Oh, yeah. That's right.
And then she goes in and we see her interact with her husband, who is the middle-aged man who was complaining about his urinary problems earlier.
Who's balding, fat, and is also, it seems to be some sort of CSI coroner guy, basically, who the fuck knows. And then I'm going to say, speaking as somebody who is in a age gap relationship, one of the things that they really don't tell you is that one of the biggest problems in terms of communication is that instead of having sex with you, your older husband will actually just sit in a darkened room and singing a bland, you know, love song about you instead of actually communicating that with you directly. And it's very difficult. And I'll walk in, Kevin will be sitting there in the dark singing, "Annie Kane, my beautiful girl." And I'll just have to kind of quietly sidestep him until the mood passes him. And then we can go back to having a relationship. But it's pretty upsetting. And I will say I do respect this show for, depicting the truth like that, you know?
Are you quite finished?
I'm quite finished.
She enjoyed that, folks.
It was pretty funny.
Well, I'm glad you thought so. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You're just mad that you're the loser, like little, you know, like I'm the cool hot cop, and you're the guy sitting in his. I mean, and this is one shot. This is one shot. They're just zooming back and forth.
Let's say what happens is the woman comes in and she indicates her interest and availability to have sex with her husband, and he says, "Well, you know, sorry, dear, I can't do that right now." And so then she leaves. After she leaves, he is sitting in his chair, singing about how hot and beautiful she is. He's not moving. He's not dancing. He's not standing. He's barely breathing. And the camera slowly zooms in on him as he sings about how wonderful she is. And if he really thought she was so wonderful, why didn't he go have sex with her?
Yeah, it was pretty dumb. It was offensive. Not everyone can be Bogart and Bacala, I guess.
That's right.
They had an age gap, too. Yeah, so that kind of goes nowhere, and I mean, that's the problem. A lot of these kind of threads don't seem that interesting, and they also go nowhere within the episode. Yeah, sort of has Boomtown-itis, where they're trying to cram in too many people, it feels, and you know, except in Boomtown, like, the performances were good enough where you could kind of start to care about the characters despite yourself. This doesn't really have that issue.
Did you care about any of these characters?
Nah, I didn't even. No, I mean, I could pick some of them out because just, you know, random things. But nobody who I was like, oh my God, what a stirring performance, despite the bad.
I've got to admit, there were two young female cops, and I couldn't tell them apart. I'm not even sure there were two cops.
No, there were. I thought there was one female cop.
So it was the same female cop?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to go to IMDb. By the way, our co-host, Miss Kane, now has an entry on IMDb.
Yeah, because it was revealed that I was in Cop Rock the Musical. White brunette cop lady.
I guess it was the same. Maybe she wore her hair differently and fooled me. Anya often wears her hair differently and tells me that she's her twin sister, Banya.
That means milk in Irish.
Or her cousin, Tanya. Mm. Or her overseas relative, Anya Grimes.
Oh, no. We're not bringing back Anya Grimes. We're not. Anya Grimes has been deported and banned from the U.S. I know that's very sad for you. In some ways, you got along better with her than you do me, but...
She was pretty colorful.
Yeah.
Quite the raconteur.
A little bit too colorful. A little bit too raconteurish. So other weird moments, and I think they're supposed to be kind of quirky and fun, but they kind of just read as, what the fuck am I seeing? The chief of police is some sort of, like, cowboy wannabe who has a fake dummy cowboy in his closet that he can pop out and shoot at. Wouldn't they be concerned about, like, a bullet going through the wall or something and, like, killing a secretary?
I don't even know if it was a real gun.
Yeah, I
didn't really follow that.
Even if it wasn't a real gun, it's just seems dumb and stupid and something you can't really take seriously. And... there's a weird thing with like the mayor of the town who
was played by Barbara Bosson, who was the wife of series creator Stephen Bochco. She was also, of course, played the ex-wife of Frank Farrillo on TV's Hill Street Blues. But pray continue.
Are you finished? Are you done?
I'm quite done.
You're done? Great. Yeah, she is the corrupt mayor with giant hair, and she's going to sing about wanting a jail, and then she's going to take a bribe so a bearded guy can get the jail contract. And it might have been more interesting because she told the police chief, I'm going to get you your jail. He basically went on a press conference and said, we need another jail because the bad guys were released due to, you know, prison overcrowding. And so she's like, I'm going to get you a new jail. It's going to be great. And so if she had been bribed to, like, not put in the jail, that would have been more interesting because then it would be like she's a person who's saying one thing and then doing something totally different and sort of, like, you could see how that would be, you know, a nemesis for the police and an antagonist, you know, series antagonist. But instead it's like she's just getting a bribe so one particular guy can build the jail. So what's the point of it? What's the point?
It's still illegal. It's still a crime. You don't care about white-collar crime.
I do. I'm just saying it's not an interesting story choice. It's sort of like if you saw her, like, speeding or, like, I don't know. Like what?
She was speeding?
Oh.
Jesus Christ. I must have missed that. Tell me about that. How was she speeding? How fast was she going? Did she get away with it?
Are you okay? Is Cop Rock, like, hurt your brain in some way? Some irreversible way? Is this how it's going to be from now on? Oh no! Oh no! The lights are dimming! Oh god. I'm gonna have to go to like a Cop Rock spouses, like 12 step group. Maybe one of the cringier songs for me was a really high-strung prosecutor ropes in, let's call him the hothead. I think his name is LaRusso or something. He's the hothead cop. He gets roped into a trial. The bad guy, as we were informed, he's a bad guy, gets convicted. And then the judge leads the jury in a gospel song, starting with the stenographer pulling up his desk, and it reveals a glowing piano. So that was a lot. That was a lot to see. Have you ever seen somebody who was like trying so hard to, like maybe in high school, you see someone who's trying so hard to be cool and it makes you almost like have like a physical reaction of like secondhand embarrassment? Because that's sort of like what we're looking at here, I think. I mean, that's how I felt watching this scene.
It was awkward. It was awkward. You know, there was a similar format on The Singing Detective, and everybody raves about that show. Maybe we should give that a shot.
What was that?
Done by Dennis Potter, the same guy that did Pennies from Heaven.
I actually don't think it's impossible to have a musical show that works. You just have to have a good idea for it and like know what you're working with. And I think having all of those songs crammed in, maybe if they had focused all their energies on one really good song, an episode, you could do that. And that maybe have a little more production value to it, like have people dancing or it's shot in an interesting way.
I think it's difficult to do a musical every week, especially on a television budget. Most Broadway shows take months, if not years, to write. And then when they make their debut, they go through tryouts in other cities, and they're revised and fixed and stuff. You know, they don't, like Stephen Sondheim or Cole Porter, these people did not do 4 songs for a TV show every week.
That's what I'm saying. It's I respect the ambition, but it's way too much. And maybe just put all your resources into one song a week. That's probably still too much, but like it's better than 4. These songs feel thin. They feel undercooked at best, and some of them are downright cringy and seem almost inappropriate, like the gospel song about someone going to jail. So, like, I feel like maybe just have one, maybe good song, make that your kick-ass moment of the episode, and get the fuck out then. You know, like, that's all you have to worry about. 4 songs, no. Can't do it. That's never gonna work. That's what the executive should have told these people before this got to a pilot. Was it canceled after the pilot and they released the episodes later, or how long did this run?
This ran for 11 episodes.
How the fuck did it survive 11 episodes? That's the real fucking miracle. What? I would watch a documentary of the making of Cop Rock. I'm that fascinated with this. It is that's the thing. It's gripping in the sense of like, it's like you're watching an accident with like cars flying every which way in like in ways you didn't think imaginable, and you're almost like transfixed by it. Like, how is this happening? What's happened? Tell me, how did this happen?
I think Stephen Bochco had a contract at the time that he could get 10 series on the air on ABC, and he kind of felt obligated that if you have an opportunity to put 10 shows on the air, you really should try to experiment with some of them and just don't do the same old, same old.
I respect it. I respect that.
And I read an interview where he said that the idea had always been stuck in the back of his head because at some point someone had wanted to do a Broadway musical version of Hill Street Blues.
Listen, I give the ambition credit, and I think you do too. And I think I wish maybe the ambition and creativity had been directed a little more in a realistic way. But, you know, I wish there was no like gross police brutality in this, but it portrayed as it is sort of like just a part of the job. But I would say I respect the ambition, and, you know, it's an interesting disaster at the very least. Maybe that's better than just another bland police procedural that, you know, fizzles out because it's, you know, not interesting.
Is it interesting during the parts where there's no singing?
No, but it's like the calm before the storm where you're like, is this the moment they're going to start singing again?
Anytime they were about to start singing, you would always say, oh no.
Yeah.
Every time.
You get that like sixth sense. Like, it's like you can feel it. It's coming. You got to seek shelter, everybody. The show almost had like a little smug pause right before they started singing. And that's when you knew. Oh, man. I mean, the perhaps the most like egregious moment in terms of the plot occurs at the very end.
Yeah, a woman who has a drug
problem. Oh, no. I'm talking about the murder.
Oh, okay.
Tell us what happens.
Well, the drug thing is the very end of the
okay,
show.
Okay, fine. Let's get to
it. Yeah, give me that.
Let's talk about the murder first.
Okay, so they figure out who the cop killer is and where he's at. And through some plot contrivances, a couple of rookie cops make a mistake and they blow the arrest. At which point our hothead cop sends the rookies away. And he goes and he talks to the cop killer, who's very smug because he knows that he can't be arrested now because the rookies made a mistake. At which point our hothead cop shoots him, killing him.
In cold blood while the man is handcuffed.
Yes.
One
of our heroes.
Yeah, one of the heroes. Like, that's not aged well at all. And my question is, I mean, like, you watched Hill Street Blues and stuff like that. I've never seen it. Is that a show where, like, something like that would happen?
Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blues, those shows would sometimes take choices like that to try to shock you, especially in the early episodes where they're trying to get your attention.
Okay.
The pilot of NYPD Blue ended with one of the police officers committing murder, if I recall correctly.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because I was like, that kind of came out of nowhere and just seemed kind of dumb. And then one of the sergeant or something is like threatening the hothead afterwards, being like,
"Oh, I know you committed murder. I'm gonna come and get you. Oh, you can't get me. Oh, I'll get you. All right. Don't you eat my hamburger."
That's basically it. You do a good impression of these cops. And then now we can get to your beloved ending with the drug dealer mom who's been a witness throughout all this.
So a drug addicted woman who has a baby is sitting on a bench. She's not moving or standing or doing anything. Just sitting on a bench holding her baby, singing a sweet lullaby to her baby. And then as the lullaby ends, a car pulls up, a man gets out, and she sells her baby to the man for $200. The end. Cop rock.
Yeah, it was.
So what'd you think of that?
I just thought it was. I feel like it was like, the show at the end at the like maybe after the cop got killed, from then on it was like trying to shock you. Like, this is what it's like. This is what the world's like. This lady's selling her baby for some money for drugs. People are dying. Cops are killing people. People are killing cops. And it's like, okay, whatever. It's just like it's trying too hard, and without you caring about the characters or at all, or without good storytelling chops, you know, the shock value only goes so far. And I would argue that this kind of maybe sort of semi gritty police show could work. And it sounds like it was created by successful storytellers with other programs under their belt. But I just feel like all the focus on the songs almost like sapped all of the energy out of the characters and all the other elements of the show, and just kind of made it feel like just a collection of bizarre scenes, like a fever dream or something.
So the big question is, what are we going to do with the DVDs? Are we going to file them away and forget about them? Or are you going to watch the other 10 episodes of this disaster?
I might be interested in once in a while tuning in to Cop Rock and seeing what is up and what other weird things they do, because I'll give it credit for that. Like, the songs were kind of like when you hit a pothole in the road and the car shakes around a bit. Like, maybe it's not pleasant, but it's kind of like, whoa, what's going to happen?
So you love it?
I don't know if I love it, but I might want to see what happens. What else they do? I almost respect the audacity.
The audacity.
I wish there was more dancing though, because that would be fun. Seeing a bunch of cops dance around, or like the criminals dancing, like that would just be fun.
What's your five-star?
Well, I want to ask you. You survived this, you know. You didn't even think you could previously. You just stopped watching.
Yeah.
So, what was your take?
It was an unsuccessful hybrid of the formulaic Stephen Bochco police show with a really bad musical. So, I didn't think the musical parts worked, And I didn't think the formulaic cop show parts worked. The only character that I liked at all was that sergeant guy.
Yeah, I agree. He was the only character that I found it, like, there was a kernel of something compelling there.
Yes, he seemed very competent and strong, and yeah, he seemed to care about the people who worked for him.
He seemed compassionate, and I thought that actor actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
It sort of feels like this was a situation where somebody tried to make, like, you know, we love pizza, we love ice cream, let's make ice cream pizza, and like, no. Like, not only are you going to make a dish that's not really appealing, but you're gonna actually like fuck, you're gonna make the pizza really soggy and you're gonna make the ice cream taste bad and salty. So all you have is a big mess on your plate.
So if you'd known this existed, would you have sought it out as I did, or would you have just moved along?
I would have moved along. I don't know, but being around you is like your weird contrarianness when it comes to odd medias maybe rubbed off on me a little bit.
Because now it's got your fancy.
Now I'm going to make you watch it. You're going to be in front of that TV, no. Clockwork Orange style, watching Cop Rock. Then we'll see what that does to the human mind.
Jesus Christ.
They're going to play some Randy Newman songs and you're going to start screaming.
Five-star final.
My five-star final. Well, I give Cop Rock commendations for its brazenness, but ultimately I have to cite it for UUMV, and that's unauthorized use of a musical vehicle.
Thanks for listening this week. I'd like to give a special thanks to Kevin T. Greenlee, who's no relation to me. He's the guy that composed the great music for this podcast, and you can find him on the web at kevintg.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at MysteryToMe. That's mystery_to_me_. And at MysteryToMePodcast on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can always send us recommendations and feedback of any kind at MysteryToMePodcast@gmail.com.
We're not teens setting up Hotmail accounts in the early 2000s, so all of those spell out to as T-O.
Thanks so much for listening.